Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hello and welcome back to TechNet Radio. I'm Aurora Queen. So today we're continuing on our Vista theme, and our guest is Charlie Russell. Charlie Russell is an MVP and also an expert zone columnist, and we hear what he has to say about Windows Vista. They also go into some great new security enhancements in Windows Vista. And then after that, I'll have some events and webcasts for you, and that'll be our show for today. So without any further delay, here's Michael Murphy interviewing Charlie Russell on TechNet Radio.
And welcome back to this installment of TechNet Radio. My name is Michael Murphy. It's a pleasure to have you all with us today. And with me is Charlie Russell. Charlie, say hello to these folks.
Hi, everybody, and hi, Michael.
So, Charlie, if you don't know Charlie Russell, he's an Expert Zone columnist. You can read him on the web. IT consultant, years of system administration experience, and years of writing books, including running Microsoft Windows NT Server 4.0, which is now classic.
Indeed, it's classic. It's been out of print. Thank goodness NT4.0 is gone.
Gone except for those 40,000 servers that are still running.
Yeah, and are no longer supported and no longer get patches. Scary thought.
Yeah, it is a little scary, I'll tell you. But enough about the past, because we are here to talk about the future, and the future looks bright with Windows Vista. So, Charlie, you've been involved in the beta program. How has that process been for you?
You know, it's been an interesting beta. Early it was really rough. I think if people tried it at the beta 2 when there was a big customer preview, they probably had some problems. It was a pretty rough beta at that point. But since we saw RC1 and now RC2, I've been really pleased. I'm running it every day. It's my main operating system. It's on my laptop, which is 64-bit, of course, and I'm really pretty happy with it.
So beta, of course, you know, is pre-release software, so we anticipate problems, right? We anticipate the beta process to vet those problems out for us. And with this particular OS, we've had about 2 million folks out there running Windows Vista in beta.
Yes.
And you would suggest that you have seen the results of that beta process in RC1 and RC2.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. Everybody kept saying it'll come together, and I was pretty much of a skeptic for a while. I did not think that Microsoft would meet its shipping dates, because I just didn't think it was, and it didn't seem for a long time, didn't seem like anything happened. And then when we got RC1, it was like, finally. And there it was. I mean, I could use RC1. I used it every day, and I think it was pretty solid. People who ran 32-bit, probably the build before that, thought they were happy. But I have to say that it's now pretty solid. You know, and it's not that it's not perfect. It's still a beta. But we're pretty close, and I think probably the biggest limitation at this point is just the sort of last driver issues, compatibility issues with particular software packages. You know, the vendors who say, we won't support Vista until Vista ships. And yet you know they're working on it. If they just make it available, we could all move forward a little quicker.
And, of course, I mean, anytime you have an OS rollout, there's an evolutionary process around that.
So oh, yeah.
We know that that's going to take time. But, you know, you mentioned 32-bit a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Windows Vista is shipping in 32 and 64-bit version.
Right.
And I tell you, I've said this before, that I really believe that in 5 years' time, we will all think about 32-bit computing the way we think about 16-bit computing today.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, except I don't think it'll take 5 years. I honestly do not think that anyone buying a computer today, except at the absolute bottom end of the price point, should be buying a 32-bit system.
And, of course, the vast majority of hardware that's shipping today is 64-bit capable.
Absolutely. I don't necessarily think everybody should install 64-bit Vista. For many people, 32-bit Vista will be a better fit, because there probably will be continue to be better drivers available especially for older legacy hardware.
For the consumer market.
What?
For more the consumer market.
Yeah, and even in the IT pro market, because
in business.
Sure, there's old printers, old scanners, hardware that you have to live with that you can't get rid of yet.
Right.
And, you know, hardware manufacturers are just like everybody else. They have limited resources. So they're going to do the drivers that on their newer stuff more than they are their older stuff. But I see that changing fairly quickly. I mean, Windows XP X64 has been out for a year and a half now. And it's sort of primed the pump for people moving to 64-bit. But it didn't get the big adoption, and I'm not surprised by that, frankly, that I think we'll see with Vista. With Vista coming out, 64-bit being the same as 32-bit, you know, you can install you install your choice.
Yep. So that's a little bit about what the future looks like, right? In the near term, we can see Windows Vista coming out. We can see broad support for it in the marketplace. What's cool about it? Microsoft, of course, is making the claim that this is going to be the most secure operating system to come out of Redmond in its history. So why so?
Oh, all kinds of reasons. I mean, I really agree that this is a much more secure operating system in all kinds of ways. Well, let's start with UAC, obviously. User Account Control, I think it stands for. It's had several acronyms over the years. But it basically means that everyone on the computer runs normally as a regular user and only elevates to administrative privileges when they absolutely need to do something. And that automatic, right now, most people run their Windows XP machines logged in as a local administrator. And that means that they're open to attack because anything that takes over or that captures that account automatically has administrative privileges and can do whatever it wants.
So the reality in the marketplace is that most folks, right, something like 70% of all Windows accounts are administrative accounts.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean,
local machine.
At least on the local machine.
Right.
Frequently on the domain as well, which is even scarier. But, yeah.
So the implication of that is that if a background processor, a piece of malware that I've picked up out on the Internet someplace, attempts to leverage itself against my machine, it's going to run under my user privileges, those administrative rights. So how does UAC fix that?
You don't run under those privileges. There's two ways it fixes that. First, Internet Explorer 7 uses protected mode, which is the least privileged mode for normal operations. So that you're not surfing the Internet under an administrative account. You're running in protected mode. Beyond that, if something gets on your machine, you are, in fact, running as a limited user, as a regular user account. And in order to do any privileged operation, you have to actually, your whole screen flips. You go into a protected mode prompt that says, are you sure you really want to go in? So there's no sneaking around behind your back. You can't do that without you knowing what happened.
So to get, even though my account has the right to install new software.
Right.
Before I install new software, I've got to hit this elevation prompt. There's got to be some user interaction to permit that action to execute.
Correct. And it's not one that you can casually do.
Now, you mentioned Internet Explorer and 7 and running in protected mode.
Right.
So that helps to eliminate much of the threats that come in onto my machine. So user account control then really takes a whole new approach to managing user accounts on the local machine. So there's also some improvements. My understanding is that there's also some improvements for what rights the default standard user accounts get. So, for example, one of the reason why everybody runs as an administrator is because you have to do your job, right, in the world we live in, to install printers or fonts or whatever. But my understanding is that a lot of those standard user account rights have been granted now in Windows Vista.
They are granted now in Windows Vista, and that's a big improvement. And even if a particular action you need to do your job requires elevation to administrative privileges and you're not running on an account that's not an administrator, you have the right to get a prompt to actually enter administrative privileges on that action. So you don't have to log out, log back in as an administrator to do it. Again, it makes everything a lot easier.
Sort of like a run as for
exactly.
a standard user.
It's sort of an automatic run as.
Nice.
Very nice. And I think it's the way to go forward. You know, it's in the earlier builds of Vista, it was rather painful. Because I think they needed to sort of work through what required elevation, what didn't. But it's been much better in RC1, RC2. I have run with UAC on in 64-bit mode since RC1 in my daily machine. You know, it's kind of annoying the first day you're running as you build a new machine. You get everything installed and you go through all that sort of stuff. But once you get past that, I don't think I get prompted more than maybe once a day, twice a day at most. And those are times when I'm doing something that, you know.
And you're probably a heavy user.
Very.
Yeah. Imagine my surprise.
Yeah, I think you could safely say I'm a pretty heavy user of just about everything. You know, one of the things, the other real new security feature, and I think one of the things that will help drive 64-bit, is all 64-bit drivers, system-level drivers, have to be signed drivers. And I think that's a huge step forward. Microsoft made a decision to draw a line in the sand and say, no more unsigned drivers are going to be loaded in 64-bit, and I think that will have huge implications going forward.
Well, what is the implication of that? So a company manufactures a driver.
Right.
They put a digital signature on it to prove their identity, that it comes from them.
Yep.
As the guy who owns the machine and is loading this driver, what peace of mind does that buy me?
It doesn't assure me that the driver doesn't have problems, but it does assure me that it came from who said it came from. So that if I've got an HP printer and I download a driver from xyz.com because I lost the DVD that came with the printer, and it says that this driver was from a place I never heard of, I go, wait a minute, that's not the HP driver. Maybe I better get the right one. Whereas if it says it's from HP, I know, okay, this printer and this driver are at least from the right manufacturer. If something says it's from Microsoft, I know that it came from Microsoft and not this business now of being able to install drivers and you have no idea where they came from. And
one of the concerns there is that this thing isn't just a driver that I'm loading, right?
Yes.
That there's some piece of malicious code attached to it, you know, if there's even any driver functionality at all.
Exactly. No longer can I load something and not know where it came from. And I think that's a huge step forward. The other thing, you look at when you're running Internet Explorer 7, for example, if you navigate to a website that's suspicious, the new phishing filter will pop up that bright red address bar and go, I don't think you're where you think you are. And I think that's great. I mean, it's an immediate visual feedback that this version of what you think looks like PayPal or whatever is not who you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to help a lot.
You know, that's a huge true story. My sister called me last week.
Yep.
And she said, Michael, is it possible that I have a PayPal account with money in it in China?
No.
And no, that's what I said.
Here's the clue.
Right, exactly. And so for her, right, if she goes to that site, she's going to get that immediate visual cue that there's something wrong.
Exactly.
Because I'll tell you, I get those emails, and I got one that looked as though it was from Microsoft last year, or maybe 2 years ago now. And
yeah.
It really looked like it came from us, but it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten really good. I mean, you read some of these emails, and, you know, the first thing to understand, of course, is that Microsoft will never send anything via email. No drivers will come from Microsoft via email. No patches will come via email. And no reputable company will send you executable files.
Mm-hmm.
No bank, no PayPal, no
credit card company.
They're never going to send you anything via email that you need to click on this link that you don't know what it is. It's hard because some of them look really good.
I think that what you're getting at here is that Windows Vista there's been a, Microsoft has tried in Windows Vista to optimize it against the emergent threats of the 21st century internet.
And they've done a pretty good job.
What else is good in there?
I mean, there's all kinds of things I like.
Hey, how about Office 2007? Do you love it?
No.
I only asked that question because I know you didn't.
You know, it will be a transition for me, I'm sure, at some point, but I'll pass in the immediate future.
Well, I'll tell you, Charlie, I was one of those people who refused to migrate from WordStar to WordPerfect.
I didn't do WordStar, but I taught WordPerfect and now Word to use WordStar commands. So
nice.
I still do Control-K and Control-Q commands.
So what have you got that you're working on? What are you up to these days? Is there anything we can be looking forward to from you?
Books
coming out?
Right now I'm working on the Vista Resource Kit for Microsoft Press. That should be out roughly the time that Vista's out. I'm not quite sure what the schedule is at this point. There are four of us working on it. All of us pretty seasoned authors who've done this before. It's interesting because this will be the first resource kit, really, that has originated outside of Microsoft.
All the authors are?
All of us are independent authors. We've worked closely with people inside Microsoft to produce this resource kit, but we're bringing an independent view to it.
Interesting.
And I think that'll be a plus. It's one of the things that I've always thought was one of the pluses of my own books and any independent third-party books, whether they're from Microsoft Press or not, is that we don't always we don't always drink the Kool-Aid, and we can be a little more frank about what we think really works and what doesn't. You know, I think it's going to be a good book. I'm excited to work with these other guys. It's Mitch Tulloch, who's also, all four of us are Microsoft MVPs. Mitch Tulloch, Jerry Honeycutt, and Tony Northrup are the other three authors, and I think, all of us, I mean, between us, we must have 30-plus years of writing experience at least. And I'm excited about what it's going to look like. It's coming along finally.
So I should look for that resource.
Yep.
And that should be out around RTM time frame?
Roughly RTM time frame. Okay. I think it'll slip a little past RTM.
Oh, don't use those words together.
Oh, sorry.
People will get the wrong. He's talking about the book, folks.
The book, not the
book. Book. Okay, no. So we are just about out of time today. Charlie, any closing thoughts?
I think, especially for people who may have looked at it in beta 2 and thought, ooh, man, I don't know. Give it another try. The release candidate's out there. RC1 is, most people have access to it at this point. Give it a try. When it comes, I think migrating to it is going to be a good idea. One of the things actually that makes migrating much easier is the new Windows Easy Transfer, which is sort of what File Settings and Transfer Wizard has grown up to be, is really good. I've been using it build to build, and it's really made a difference in how quick I get up to speed.
So that lets you tear all your data as well as your user settings off the one box. And migrate them to your upgraded machine.
Yeah. Now the one thing to really remember about it though is that you must run it on your XP box before you rebuild the box.
Right.
So if you're taking an XP box and rebuilding it into Vista, you need to run it against that box before you do it, because afterwards it's too late. But it definitely works and definitely helps.
Well, I'll tell you, it was great talking to you today, Charlie. Thanks for coming out.
It was a pleasure.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, for TechNet Radio, I'm Michael Murphy. Thank you for joining us today.
Michael Murphy and Charlie Russell on TechNet Radio. So following up on this theme of security in Vista, there's a webcast I thought you should know about. It's a TechNet webcast titled Security Features in Windows Vista. And it actually happened yesterday on Monday, November 6th, so you have to watch the on-demand of that. Sean Travers is the presenter, and in this session he discusses the innovative design philosophies and development strategies involved in making Windows Vista the most secure Windows operating system yet. He describes security features like Windows Service Hardening, which restricts critical Windows services from doing abnormal activities that could allow malicious software to install itself or attack other computers. As far as conferences go, the Webmaster World PubCon 2006 is taking place in Vegas, and that's November 14th. Webmaster World Conference and PubCon events are for leaders in search engine and internet marketing professionals to gather and share best practices in the design, development, promotion, and marketing of their businesses and brands. Webmaster World's PubCon is an educational conference and industry trade show programmed specifically for web professionals and website owners. So for all you web folks out there, if you want to get more information on that, check out pubcon.com. So if you want to shoot me an email, my email address is tnradio@microsoft.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast, good and bad. I'd like to hear everything. And also if you have any content ideas, just shoot me an email. Or you can also call 877-814-6506. Thanks again for listening today. I'm Aurora Queen. I'll talk to you next time on TechNet Radio.
Have comments or want to request a story idea? Call us at 1-877-814-6506.